Hey everyone, and welcome back, ready for another deep dive.
Always.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to be looking at some of the latest happenings in the world of NASS.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we've got some interesting updates to dig into, a bunch of articles and forum posts about new software releases, security patches, even a whole new backup solution from Synology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, should be fun to see what's changing and how it might impact all of us who rely on NASS to keep our data safe and sound.
Yeah, it's easy to miss those smaller updates when you're busy with everything else, but they can really give you a good sense of where things are headed. Like, is security becoming a bigger focus, or is NAS becoming more than just a place to park your files?
Exactly. So let's jump right in. First up, we've got a new TOS update for all you TerraMaster users out there, version 6.0.577.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw it mentioned in a forum post by someone with the username TMBuddy. It looks like they're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, they might be, but it's worth noting that this update is specifically for x86 devices. So not for everyone. It refers to the processor architecture.
Got it. So good point. Definitely want to double check that before you go hitting the update button.
For sure.
So what's actually in this update? Well, let's see. The bug fix list is quite extensive. Anything jump out at you?
Well, there are a number of fixes for SMB.
Okay.
Which is the way most people share files on their network.
Right.
And one that caught my eye was a fix for an issue where SMB could fail to start after a reinstall.
Ugh, yeah, reinstalls. Never fun. I've definitely run into that problem before.
It can be a real pain.
Absolutely. Anything else in there that caught your attention?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, there's a fix for a potential security vulnerability.
Oh, okay.
Where hidden folders were visible through WebDAV.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a way to access files remotely.
Right, right.
So closing that loophole is definitely a good move.
For sure, yeah. Sometimes I forget about those remote access features and how they can create security risks.
Definitely something to be mindful of.
Okay, so we've talked bug fixes. What about new features? This update adds Atop and McVLAN. I have to admit, those sound a bit over my head.
Yeah, those are definitely geared towards the more advanced users. Atop is a system monitoring tool.
Okay.
So if you're into performance metrics and want to know every little detail about how your NAS is running, this gives you a really powerful dashboard to see it all.
Okay, so for the tinkerers and the folks who like to really dig into the nuts and bolts.
Exactly.
What about McVLAN? What kind of things would somebody use that for?
Well, McVLAN allows you to create virtual network interfaces.
Yeah.
It's basically a way to segment your network within the NAS.
Oh, interesting.
It could be useful for, let's say, running containers, or if you have a more complex network setup with specific security needs.
So probably not something the average user would need to mess with?
Probably not, no. But good to have the option if you need it.
Absolutely. And it looks like the update also mentions optimizing apt commands and system reports. Those sound more like behind-the-scenes improvements, right?
Yeah, I would say so. It's like fine-tuning the engine of your car. You might not see a flashy new feature, but it can make everything run a bit smoother and more efficiently.
Okay, so solid, if not groundbreaking, updates for TerraMaster users. Let's switch gears now and talk about something entirely new, Synology's Active Protect Backup Appliance. Now, this isn't just a software update. It's a whole new piece of hardware and a different approach to backup altogether. I'm really curious to get your take on this one.
Yeah, this is interesting. What stands out to me about Active Protect is that it's a consolidated solution.
Okay.
It combines the backup software, the server, and the storage into a single unit.
So it's kind of like a one-stop shop for all your backup needs.
Right. Most people have separate systems for backing up their computer, their virtual machines, maybe their cloud data. This streamlines everything.
I see. It brings it all together. And they're really pushing the cross-platform compatibility.
Yeah.
Saying it supports PCs, Macs, physical servers, virtual machines, even Microsoft 365. It's a pretty impressive range.
Right.
Who do you think they're targeting with this?
I think they're going for both home users who have a lot of devices and also businesses, especially smaller ones that might not have a dedicated IT person.
Right. That makes sense.
By making the backup process simpler and supporting a wide range of devices, it makes robust data protection more accessible.
I see. Because everyone needs a good backup solution, but managing a bunch of different systems can be a real headache, especially if you're not super tech savvy.
Exactly.
So they're making it easier for everyone.
Yeah, that's the idea.
But what about complexity? Because it sounds like this thing could be managing a ton of data from a lot of different sources. How do you keep that from getting overwhelming?
Well, they've created the Active Protect Manager. or APM for short.
Okay.
It's a visual interface that can manage a truly massive amount of data. We're talking up to 150,000 workloads and 2,500 sites.
Wow, 150,000 workloads, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's a lot. And the fact that they can handle that kind of complexity while still making it user-friendly is impressive.
That's the key, right? Because if it's too difficult to use, then people just won't use it.
You got it. It points to a trend we're seeing across tech in general.
Yeah.
How do you manage increasingly complex systems without overwhelming the user?
Mm-hmm.
Intuitive interfaces are becoming essential.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk security for a minute, because with all that data at stake, this thing better be FortDocs.
Yeah, for sure.
They're throwing around terms like tamper-proof backups and air gap. What does all that mean, and how does it affect the security of your data?
Well, tamper-proof backups basically means the backups are protected from being changed or deleted without authorization.
Got it.
Even if someone gains access to the system.
Okay.
This is really important for protection against ransomware attacks,
mm-hmm.
where the data is often encrypted and held hostage.
Right.
With tamper-proof backups, you have a much better chance of recovering your data intact.
Oh, that's a relief. It's like having an insurance policy for your data.
Exactly.
But what about air gap?
Air gap is a more hardcore measure. It means physically isolating the backup data from the network.
So even if your main system is compromised, the backup is safe because it's not connected.
You got it. It adds an extra layer of protection against more advanced threats.
Wow. It's like having an escape pod for your data.
Mm.
They're really going all out on the security front.
Yeah, they are.
But what about performance? Backing up all that data has to take a toll on your network and storage.
Well, they're really emphasizing efficiency with Active Protect.
Okay.
They use features like incremental backup.
Right, which only backs up the changes, not the entire thing every time.
That's right. And deduplication, which eliminates duplicate files.
Oh, clutter.
These help minimize network load and the amount of storage space needed.
So faster backups, less strain on your network, and you use less storage space. Those are all wins in my book.
Yeah, they are.
All right, let's talk about something that caught my eye. The pricing model.
Okay.
They're selling Active Protect as a one-time purchase, which is a bit different these days. Most backup solutions are subscription-based. What do you make of that?
It's a bold move. It could really shake things up. People are getting tired of all these subscriptions.
Subscription fatigue is real.
So offering a one-time purchase for a complete backup solution could be very appealing.
Especially for people who are watching their budget and like to know what their expenses are going to be.
Exactly.
Now, they're also highlighting a testimonial from Jixun Group, a logistics company over in Taiwan. They're reporting an 80% deduplication rate with Active Protect, which they say saved them a lot of money. That's a pretty impressive real-world example.
Yeah, it's a good example of how deduplication isn't just some theoretical benefit. It can have a tangible impact on storage costs.
Especially for companies with a ton of data.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got this new TOS update for TerraMaster users, which seems like a decent upgrade, but only for specific models. And then we have this brand new Active Protect backup appliance from Synology, which is trying to change the game with its all-in-one approach, strong security features, and interesting pricing model.
It's interesting to see these different approaches.
Yeah, it is. All right, before we go too deep down the trend rabbit hole, let's shift gears and talk about something a little less flashy, but just as important. Security updates. We have some news about Western Digital patching vulnerabilities in their My Cloud Home and Duo devices. This isn't about cool new features, but about keeping our data safe from bad guys.
Absolutely. Security updates are crucial. Sometimes they get overlooked, but they can be really important. And these particular updates address some potentially serious vulnerabilities. We're talking about password exposure and arbitrary code execution.
Whoa, okay, those sound a bit scary. Can you break those down for us? What do they actually mean, and what could happen if someone exploited those vulnerabilities?
Sure. Arbitrary code execution essentially means that hackers could take control of your device if they exploit the vulnerability.
Yikes, not good.
Yeah, they could steal your data, install malware, or even use your NAS as part of a botnet.
Oh, wow, so this is serious stuff. What about password exposure? What does that mean?
It means someone could gain access to your login credentials, giving them full access to your files.
Okay, so definitely not something to ignore. So what exactly is being patched here? What should people be looking out for?
Okay, so they've updated Samba, which is a protocol for sharing files between different operating systems.
Right.
And there was a vulnerability that could have leaked sensitive information from Active Directory.
Oh, wow.
And they've also patched libcurl, which is a library used for transferring data over networks.
Okay.
It had flaws that could have been exploited for malicious code injection.
Okay, that's getting a bit technical for me.
Fair enough.
But the bottom line is, these are serious vulnerabilities that need to be fixed. So, what should my Cloud Home and Duo users do?
The most important thing is to check for updates right away.
Okay.
Western Digital has released patches for these vulnerabilities. Make sure you have the latest firmware installed on your devices.
Great advice. And for those who want to dive into the nitty-gritty technical details, we'll include a link to the Western Digital support site in the show notes.
Perfect.
It's always good to stay informed about these security issues so you can protect your data.
I agree. It's a good reminder that security is an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time fix. You need to stay vigilant and keep those devices updated.
Very true. Okay, so in this first part of our deep dive, we've covered a new TOS update for TerraMaster, a brand new backup appliance from Synology, and some crucial security updates for Western Digital users. It's a good mix of information.
It's all connected, too. All these updates point to some larger trends we're seeing in the NAS world.
Oh, interesting. Now I'm even more curious to hear about these trends.
Well, then let's jump into the next part of our deep dive. We'll explore how these updates tie into bigger trends, like the rise of edge computing and the growing importance of data security and privacy. You know, those updates are interesting, but they also point to a larger trend we should talk about.
Okay, I'm listening.
The convergence of NAS and cybersecurity.
Okay, cybersecurity and NAS. I don't usually think of them together. What do you mean by convergence?
Well, think about it. NAS devices are becoming like the central hub for our digital lives.
True.
We're trusting them with everything from photos and videos to important documents, work projects, you name it.
Yeah, my NAS is like a digital extension of my home. Everything important lives there.
Exactly. And that makes them a prime target for cyber criminals.
Yeah.
As we use NAS more and more, the need to protect that data grows too.
So it's not just about having a backup, it's about making sure the backup is secure.
Exactly. We're seeing manufacturers stepping up their game with tamper-proof backups, strong encryption, even integrating with threat intelligence platforms.
Threat intelligence platforms. What are they looking for? How do those work?
They use fancy algorithms and databases of known threats. They analyze network traffic, system logs, even user behavior.
Okay.
And if they see something suspicious, like a weird login attempt from another country, they trigger alerts or even take action automatically.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Sounds like AI is playing a role in all this.
You're right. AI is becoming a big deal in cybersecurity, and that includes NAS.
So it's not enough to just have strong passwords and keep your firmware updated.
Right.
You need a NAS that can actually defend itself.
Exactly. It can feel overwhelming, but the good news is manufacturers are making these security features easier to use.
Okay, that's good to hear.
A lot of systems offer automated security scans, guided setup for encryption, easy to understand dashboards showing your system's health.
That's reassuring. I'd rather let the NAS handle the heavy lifting on the security front.
Makes sense.
So it sounds like choosing a NAS isn't just about storage capacity anymore. You need to think about security and the manufacturer's commitment to updates and patches.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Think of your NAS as a long-term investment.
Right.
Look for manufacturers with a good track record of releasing security updates and those that prioritize data protection in their design.
Good advice. Okay, let's change gears and talk performance.
Sounds good.
We talked about incremental backups and deduplication earlier, but what new technologies are you excited about for speed and efficiency?
One big thing is the use of SSDs, or solid-state drives, in NAS systems.
Okay.
They offer much faster read and write speeds than traditional hard drives.
I've noticed a big difference since switching to an SSD in my laptop. Everything is just faster.
It's a huge improvement, especially for demanding tasks like video editing or running virtual machines.
But aren't SSDs still a lot pricier than hard drives?
They are, especially for large capacities, which is why we're seeing a lot of NAS devices offering a hybrid approach.
Okay.
Combining SSDs for data you access frequently with hard drives for bulk storage.
So you get the best of both worlds, speed and affordability.
Exactly.
Smart. So the storage media itself is evolving, but what about the network? Does that impact NAS performance?
Absolutely. Even the fastest SSD can be held back by a slow network.
Right.
Gigabit Ethernet is still common, but we're seeing a shift to faster standards like 10 gigabit Ethernet.
I'm still on gigabit at home, but it sounds like I might need to upgrade at some point.
It's something to consider, especially as internet speeds keep increasing.
Okay, so we've got faster storage, faster networks, and smarter software. It seems like NAS performance is improving across the board.
It is.
But what about the software that runs on NAS? It's not just about storing files anymore. It's about running a whole suite of applications.
Right, modern NAS operating systems can do so much.
Yeah.
You can run media servers, download managers, surveillance systems, even virtual machines.
It's crazy how much you can do with a NAS these days.
It is.
What are some of the most popular applications you see people using?
Media server applications like Plex and MV are super popular. They let you stream your movies, music, photos to any device in your home.
Well, Plex, it's changed how I watch movies. Being able to access my media from anywhere is so convenient.
It's great. And for those who care about privacy, having your media on your own NAS instead of relying on a streaming service can be a big plus.
That's a good point. More control over your data.
Exactly. Backup and synchronization software is also popular. Things like Duplicati and SyncThing.
Okay.
They make it easy to back up your computers and phones to your NAS.
Peace of mind knowing your data is safe.
Exactly. And for businesses, we see CRM software, accounting software, project management tools running on NAS.
So it's like a mini data center.
It is.
But with all those applications running, are there concerns about performance?
It's a valid concern, and choosing a NAS with enough processing power and memory is important.
Right.
But manufacturers are aware of these demands and are constantly improving performance.
Okay, so it's about finding the right NAS for your needs. I
Exactly.
can't resist asking about AI. We talked about it in security, but is AI being used in other parts of NAS functionality?
Absolutely. AI is being used to enhance everything from data management to performance optimization and even user experience.
Okay, give me some examples. How is AI actually being used in NAS today?
Well, one example is photo management. Some NAS systems use facial recognition to organize your photos automatically.
Cool. My photo library is a mess. I could use that.
It can be a huge time saver.
What about other types of data? Can AI help manage things like documents or music?
Absolutely. AI can analyze files and suggest ways to organize them, like creating folders by type or date.
Okay.
Some systems even tag your music with metadata automatically.
Wow, so AI is like a digital organizer for my NAS.
You got it.
What about performance? Can AI make my NAS faster?
It can. Some systems use AI to analyze your data access patterns and predict what you'll need next, preloading it for faster access.
That's amazing. It's like it can read my mind. It
Right.
seems like AI is really taking NAS to a whole new level.
It is, and we're just getting started. As AI evolves, expect to see even more innovative applications in NAS.
This is all so fascinating, but it's a lot to keep up
I
with.
know, right?
How can the average user stay informed about all these changes and new technologies?
There are a lot of great resources out there. I recommend checking out reputable tech websites and blogs that cover NAS.
Okay, any specific ones you'd recommend?
Absolutely. NASCompares.com, StorageReview.com, SmallNetBuilder.com are all great resources for enthusiasts and pros.
Awesome. What about social media? Is that a good place to stay updated?
Definitely. Follow manufacturers and industry experts on Twitter and LinkedIn to get insights into new products and updates.
So it's a good way to stay ahead of the curve.
Right.
What about YouTube? Are there any good NAS channels?
Tons. Channels like TechnoTim, Linus Tech Tips, Serve the Home all have great content on NAS.
Perfect. I'm a visual learner. Videos are great. What about online communities? Any forums or groups where I can chat with other NAS users?
For sure. Reddit has some active NAS subreddits, and many manufacturers have their own official forums.
That's a good reminder that we're not alone in this.
Exactly.
There's a whole community out there.
And don't be afraid to experiment. The best way to learn is by doing. There are a lot of affordable and user-friendly NAS options out there.
That's good to hear. It sounds like there's a NAS out there for everyone.
There is. And as the technology gets better and easier to use, we can expect even more people to adopt it.
I'm excited to see what the future holds for NAS. It's clearly a technology that's here to stay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has come a long way from just being a simple file-sharing device.
Right.
It's now a powerful platform that's changing how we interact with data at home and at work.
Okay, before we wrap up, I want to talk about something that's been getting a lot of buzz. Web 3.0 or the decentralized web.
Interesting.
Is there a connection between NAS and this emerging trend?
Yeah, it's a great question. The decentralized web is all about shifting control of data away from big companies and back to users.
So it's about empowering people to own and manage their own data.
Exactly. And NAS aligns with that philosophy.
How so?
NAS allows you to store your data locally on your own device without relying on the cloud.
So NAS could be a building block for a more decentralized web.
Potentially. we're already seeing projects that use NAS devices as nodes in decentralized networks, enabling peer-to-peer data sharing.
That's interesting. Can you give me an example of what that would look like?
Imagine sharing files directly with friends and family without needing cloud storage or email attachments.
Okay.
NAS, with its storage and networking capabilities, could make that kind of peer-to-peer exchange happen.
That's a cool idea. No more file size limits or privacy worries. But wouldn't everyone need a NAS?
Ideally, yes. But those who have one could act as hubs, letting people in their network access and share files directly.
So it's about creating a network where data is shared among people instead of going through a central authority.
Exactly. It's about more control and privacy. But there are technical challenges.
Like what?
We'd need new protocols and standards for sharing data. But there are already things like IPFS, the Interplanetary File System, for decentralized data storage.
I've heard of IPFS. Isn't it supposed to be more secure and resilient than the regular web?
Right. It's peer-to-peer and uses content addressing, making it harder to censor content. And NAS devices could play a role in hosting and distributing content on IPFS.
Wow, this is getting pretty complex. It sounds like NAS could be a big part of a more open and user-centric internet.
It could. We're still in the early stages, but that's what makes it exciting.
This has been an awesome conversation. We've covered so much about NAS.
It has.
I feel like I have a much better grasp of how it all fits into the bigger picture.
It's been a pleasure talking about this with you. I hope our listeners are feeling more informed and ready to explore the world of NAS.
Before we move to the last part, I want to talk about something that's often overlooked. The human element.
Oh, that's important.
With all this talk about data, it's easy to forget that the most valuable data is our personal memories.
Absolutely.
NAS can help us preserve those memories, but technology should never replace human connection.
I agree. It should enhance our lives, not define them.
It's about finding the right balance.
Exactly. The most important data isn't the files we store, it's the stories we create and the bonds we form.
Nicely said. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back to explore some emerging trends that are pushing the boundaries of NAS and data management. Okay, so we're back and ready to talk about those emerging trends you mentioned. What's on the horizon for NAS? What's got you excited about the future of data storage?
One thing that's really interesting is how NAS is intersecting with some of the bigger trends in tech. One that's caught my eye is edge computing.
Edge computing. Okay. I've heard the term, but I'm not sure I fully get it. Can you break it down for me? What is it and why is it relevant to NAS?
Sure. Imagine that instead of sending all your data to the cloud, you're doing more of the processing and storage closer to where that data is generated. That's the basic idea of edge computing.
Okay.
It's big for things like IoT devices, self-driving cars, even remote offices that need faster processing.
So instead of everything going back and forth to a central server, you're distributing the workload.
Exactly. And that's where NAS comes in. Picture a network of NAS devices acting as mini data centers at the edge.
So my little NAS at home could be part of a network that's powering self-driving cars. That's a pretty wild thought.
It's a real paradigm shift, and it's already happening. We're seeing NAS devices with more powerful processors. Some even have AI accelerators to handle those complex tasks.
So it's not just about storage anymore. It's about processing power, too. NAS is becoming more like a server.
Right. And this ties into another trend, data sovereignty.
Okay.
As we generate more and more data, there's growing concern about who controls it and where it's stored.
Especially with all the data privacy rules we see popping up.
Exactly. And edge computing with NAS gives people and organizations more control by keeping their data closer to home.
It's interesting how those trends are coming together. Edge computing, pushing processing power out to the edges, and data sovereignty pushing for more local control. And NAS is right in the middle of it all.
It is. It's in a good spot to be a major player in this new data landscape.
Okay, changing gears a bit. Another buzzword we hear all the time is the metaverse. Any chance NAS plays a role in that? I'm still not even sure what the metaverse actually is.
It's a good question. The metaverse, if it lives up to the hype, will be incredibly data intensive. Think massive virtual worlds, personalized avatars, real-time interactions, all generating tons of data.
So where does NAS fit into all of that? I can't imagine storing all of that on a device at home.
Think of it as the backbone for your personal data in the metaverse. You can store avatar customizations, virtual possessions, anything you create in those digital spaces.
Ah, so instead of some big tech company controlling all that, it's on my own device. I like that.
It puts you in control, which is a core idea in a lot of visions of the metaverse.
Okay, final question, big one. What does the future of NAS look like with all these trends converging?
The exciting thing is that NAS is becoming less of a standalone device and more of a platform.
Okay.
We're seeing integration with cloud services, AI, even blockchain tech.
So it's less about the box itself and more about the ecosystem it's a part of.
Exactly. We might see NAS becoming the hub for managing data across all your devices, whether it's your personal files, your smart home, even your digital identity in the metaverse.
Wow, that's a future I can get behind. This has been a fascinating look at the world of NAS, from practical updates to some mind-blowing possibilities.
It's been fun. It's always cool to see how something like NAS can connect to bigger ideas about data, privacy, and the future of the internet.
Absolutely. And a huge thank you to our listeners for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to explore what NAS can do for you.
Remember, your data is a reflection of you. Choose your tools carefully, stay curious, and keep exploring what NAS has to offer.